I'm embarrassed to admit it, but I went to go get my hair cut and colored, and I went to get the cut, and she was like, okay, which way do you part your side? And I got really quiet because, Raven, you know how like the big thing now is that the younger generation says only old women do the side part?
I hadn't spent a lot of time dwelling on it, but yes, I do remember you mentioning that.
So I was like, well, what would happen if I didn't do a side part? No.
Okay.
I said, you know, and I did it like kind of down the middle. And she knew immediately like what I was implying because it's been like all over the news and trending and people talking about it.
Sure.
And she's a hairdresser, so she kind of knows.
I mean, she's been cutting your hair, so she's seen what you've done prior, so she knows.
Well, she knows that I always have a side part. And the truth of the matter is most women, I hate to even say this, my age, I'm 40, but like between the ages, I would say of like 35 and 50, we've probably had the same side part for a long time. Like ever since Rachel made it famous in Friends to have a side part, we all had side parts.
Sure.
So she looked at me and she's like, okay. And then she tried to like move the side part.
Sure.
And it wouldn't go.
She wanted to indulge you, right? You take this little chance together.
It kept flapping over.
Yeah. Do you think that she knew it in her heart? Her heart was already a little bit sad, but she tried for you anyways?
Yeah. I think she knew that if she was going to say to me, you're going to look ridiculous, you're not going to like the weird cowlick that you're going to have in the position of where your side part has been for the last 15 years.
Sure.
But, you know, she was like, and then I did it, and she just got quiet for a second.
She wanted you to make the discovery.
It's like she wouldn't make eye contact with me in the mirror. She was just looking off to the side.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that doesn't look great. And she's like, well, you know, your hair starts to grow a certain way when you've been doing something for so long. So I'm like, it's like a mark. It's like a tattoo of being old now. You can't try something new because now I have this side part that is ingrained in my skull for eternity.
Yeah, when I see a guy change his part, my first thought is he losing his hair?
Oh.
That's the number one trick that a guy will do, right? He starts combing his hair a different way to cover up or make his hair not like, you know, be as, you know, I don't know, as strained by the way he's been combing it before. As a guy, I mean, I've had the same haircut since like fourth grade.
Right. You have. And you've never changed your hair. And we've talked about it at length in the past. But I've noticed that lately, even after your haircuts, you've been keeping it longer. Why?
I've actually just been busier. I'm not parting it or combing it any other way.
Uh-huh.
I've just been busier. If you're talking about the tops and the sides, I think that's what happens to the old guys. The tops of the sides are growing faster than the top is now.
Oh, my gosh.
So it looks like it's getting longer, but it's actually not. It's only getting longer in those two spots.
This is ridiculous.
In public, Anna Zapp presents as a calm, regular person. But inside her mind, it can be a different story.
Deep, dark thoughts or a sounding board for the typically insane mom?
Right!
Most people keep their diary to themselves.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Not Anna Zapp.
Dear diary, this is Tupperware Party's fault. Tupperware was the gateway drug for pyramid schemes. I don't know about you, but lately, everyone is selling something. The mom in your toddler's gymnastics class? She wants to text you all about this new face cream that she sells now. It's going to make you look so young, like you don't even need Botox anymore. The receptionist at your office? You can smell her through that plexiglass, and she's pushing essential oils. But don't worry, she's got a combo of smells that'll cure anything, including poverty, I guess, because that lavender and cedarwood, it is expensive. Can't lose weight? You don't need to go to the gym. Don't eat any lettuce. Just go to Facebook, because that girl from your high school science class in 1997, she sells a protein powder that may be keto, but I'm not sure. And she swears it works. And she posts pictures of herself every day in bikinis. Also, it's your lucky day, because there's a special sale going on right now for all her Facebook friends. How about that girl that stands in the front row in your boot camp class? She is now an authorized seller for these new gym leggings and crop tops, and you will not believe how good they fit. This fabric is incredible. Plus, she told me that all middle-aged moms are wearing crop tops again. And why bother going to CVS to buy your makeup? Your boss sells that now. On the side, of course, because she believes in the product. She also thinks you'll be a great rep and make so much money on the side. The stuff basically sells itself, she said. It just doesn't end. And it's all because we bought Tupperware. Okay, diary. Until next time, I've got to go try these new dry nail polish things for my nails. My mom just started selling them. She says I'll never need a manicure again. Love, Anna.
That's all I need to know about you.
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 All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. Raven, if you're still cracking jokes about Taylor Swift being a serial dater, even though it's been about, I don't know, a hot decade since she had that role, that's all I need to know about you.
All right, explain the situation, and then I've got some questions for you.
Okay, Taylor Swift took a shot at Netflix because there's this show called Ginny in Georgia, and they were joking about going through guys. This is exactly what the joke was on the show.
Mm-hmm.
So what, you and Hunter? I'm guessing that's over. What do you care? You go through men faster than Taylor Swift.
You know what? She's right. So she shot back and she's like, listen, it's lazy. It's deeply sexist. And then she said, how about we stop degrading hardworking women? And she's right.
That's what Taylor Swift had to say.
Yep. That's right. What she had to say about the whole thing about mm-hmm. Netflix, you know, creating this storyline and then putting a joke like that in.
Yeah. I, on the one hand, she's right. Mm-hmm. It's low-hanging fruit, as they would call it in our building. It's, you know, it's the easiest and the biggest cop-out of a joke. On the other hand, Netflix turns out an amazing amount of material every single day.
No.
And so, you know, jokes that to do it. Here's what I'm going to ask you.
Uh-huh.
All right? And this is a serious question is Netflix in the business of censoring the content that they make available? Netflix didn't write the show. They mm-hmm. hired writers to make the show. They hired directors, a crew, and they make that independently basically as a production house. And so are they supposed to go through mm-hmm. and police things to make sure that nothing ever offends anybody? I don't think they are.
No, I don't think that's Netflix's job to do that, to be honest. But I think that whoever the writers are and whoever's in charge of those writers should be scrutinized and be like, hey, listen, you probably get paid a good amount of money. How about we write jokes that aren't a decade old?
Yeah, but then it gets subjective, too, is that where does the comedy come in? It's like, OK, well, it's funny to you, but it's not funny to somebody else. I understand it. And she is correct. It's an outdated sexist joke. On the other hand, comedy has a lot of outdated sexist, racist, disparaging, whatever it may be, content to it. And this all lends itself to cancel culture in general. Mm-hmm. It's a big question is, well, where does it stop? If you start that one time and you go, no, you know what? We don't like that joke. We're going to stop that. Where does it stop the next time?
But I would say, as a comedian myself, if I saw that episode and without knowing the backstory about Taylor Swift, I'd be like, ugh. That's the best you could come up with?
Well, right. Again, it's not a great one. It's, mm-hmm. it's not a huge, you know what I mean? You're not landing something great.
In other news, Raven.
Yes.
Also, I don't know if you saw this.
No.
But John Mayer joined TikTok yesterday.
Oh, my gosh. And so?
And it was like every Taylor Swift fan was
just
like,
just attacked him?
Within 19 minutes. It was, so ironically, it took 19 minutes for the internet to realize that John Mayer was on TikTok.
Had entered TikTok, right.
Which ironically is the same age that Taylor Swift was when she dated him, 19.
Now,
and they picked up on that really quick. Let me tell you, there was plenty of comedy in those comments.
I mean, again, a long time ago. So I'll just say that it goes both ways. Be careful what you wish for, right?
Oh, I can pretty much guarantee that John Mayer, he was regretting that decision. He's like, forget it. Delete my account.
Right.
I'm over. It's done. You can tell a lot about a person about the way they treat waitstaff at restaurants.
Sure, of course. You know, anybody that has a job that some people might feel is lower than their career, mm-hmm. whatever it may be. Yeah, if you watch how they treat people, that definitely makes a big difference.
So it's been trending everywhere that a lot of servers have been posting TikToks and Instagram videos talking about the celebrities that they served and how they behaved. I find this particularly interesting because I'm a restaurant kid. I grew up in restaurants. My parents owns restaurants. And we've had our fair share of celebrities over the years.
Hmm.
You know, and I think about, it's never about the tip. Like, people always want to know if they're good tippers. That never mattered.
Right.
It was more like, were they nice to us?
Right.
Did they make demands? Were they, you know? So I always think back to, like, two of my favorites. Martha Stewart came in one night.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was the hostess. She runs the front. My dad, you know, it's my dad's. He runs the place. He's the chef. So my dad's cooking in the back. And I was working the bar at the time, right? And I was helping out with the servers. And all of a sudden, Martha Stewart comes back and sits at the bar. And I go, oh my God, it's Martha Stewart.
Right.
So I run up to my ma. I go, ma. I go, why is Martha Stewart sitting at the bar? I go, why does the chef table? She goes, I don't have any tables. Where am I going to put her? Who's that? I go, Martha Stewart, mom. It's Martha Stewart.
It's important, mom.
Right. And she goes,
this could make or break us.
Right. And she goes, well, where do you want me? And this is at the height of her career, before jail.
Sure.
Like, you know?
I would argue after jail was the height, but okay. All right.
And she goes, But I don't got a table, Anna. Where do you want me to put her? She's got to wait like everybody else.
Right.
And I have to tell you, she was the nicest woman. She sat there and she waited politely. She must have waited like 45 minutes for a table and didn't say a word.
You know, I was a server for many years myself, too. And I waited on quite a few celebrities when I worked at Six Flags, believe it or not. Mm-hmm. And during that time, you're right. It's not about the money.
Yeah.
Because you're going to make your money one way or the other. Mm-hmm. You have good days and bad days as tips. You're going to make your money one way or the other. It is about how they treat you, and that's the stuff you'll remember. Whitney Houston, really nice. Bobby Brown, looking at my girlfriend.
Oh.
That happened. Oscar De La Hoya, super nice guy. Sign anything, take a photo with anybody. Let the man eat his chicken sandwich.
I remember that Michael Bolton used to come in, and Michael Bolton.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. And you, when Michael Bolton walks in, and he asks for the corner romantic table, you're like, is he going to sing?
Can I sit with you?
Can you sing to me? But he didn't eat any meat, so he'd always order like the clams and then like a bottle of wine and only eat like three things. I'd be like, aren't you hungry? Do you want me to bring you some bread?
Funny fact, if you haven't picked up on it, Anna has an unnatural attraction to Michael Bolton, who is a good deal older than you.
Yeah, I do. All right. So let's take some of these trending videos and you tell me, do you think they were nice or not?
Okay.
Let's start with Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga, I think, is going to be nice. Her dad owns a restaurant. She always seems nice.
Honestly, she remembered everybody's names. She always looked flawless. She's extremely nice. She's a goddess.
Yep.
She remembered everybody's name.
That's a big deal.
Man, Lady Gaga is good, right?
Yeah.
She's good at this stuff.
Mm-hmm. How about Anna Faris?
Anna Faris, again, very nice person. Love her. Scary Movie, all those different movies. She comes off as just super funny. Just Friends, crazy person, but also, again, funny.
Anna Faris is the kindest, most wonderful person alive. I wish she was my best friend. She was so nice. Just so unbelievably nice. 20 out of 10.
She did dub that husband and moved on with the camera guy. But that's okay. It's all right. Sometimes love changes.
They're not always all so good, though.
Sure.
Yeah, we're going to get to that coming up next. You know, Raven, when we have artists in the studio, back when we were allowed to have artists in the studio.
That was COVID, a time. Remember
it was
that?
Good time. Yeah. I would say that most artists were nice. Like, there wasn't anybody that really stuck out in my head, except for that one time that I ended the interview early because they were so rude, remember?
But, I remember that.
With the exception of that one time, like, everybody's always on their best behavior. But when you want to see a celebrity's true colors, you put them in a restaurant. Because the truth is that when you put them in front of waitstaff, the way they treat waitstaff says a lot about them.
Yeah, the truth is, when they come in here, they're on their best behavior.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they know that it's a public thing. Now, if you work concerts, it's a little bit different. If you're doing backstage, you'll catch people having real days, good days, bad days, that type of thing. But we don't play that game. If you're rude here, you know, we don't play that game. It's over when it's over.
Raven and I have both worked in the restaurant business very early on for most of our lives. So we know that of celebrities, the way they act in the restaurants is really their true color. So we're going to say, do you think they're mean? Celebrity Restaurant Edition, because all these TikTok, Instagram stars have been posting videos, servers, of how celebrities treated them when they were out to dinner at their restaurant.
I'm here for this. I kind of like this outing thing.
Okay.
This is good.
How about Keanu Reeves? Do you think he was nice?
Keanu Reeves has got to be a nice guy. He's just the nicest guy in everything he does. Super respectful, very talented. Keanu's day has arrived.
Let's see.
Keanu Reeves, he came in for a lunch with like a bunch of industry stiffs. He was so polite, so humble, paid for the whole bill, tipped super well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Keanu. Really nice. Probably walk your dog for you if you need him.
Yeah.
I wish he was a neighbor. I'd be like, Keanu, I'm going away next week. Is it all right? He'd be like, just, yep, I got it. It's all set.
Let's get a little trickier. How about Drake?
I want to say Drake's a nice guy. I want to say he's a nice guy. I don't know.
Drake, he has so many security guards, which is fine. You know, protect yourself. He drank rosé on ice. He ate a kale salad. He was fine.
You know, that's what I was thinking, too. He was fine. Like, he strikes me as the kind of guy, like, he's going to roll in with his entourage.
Yeah.
You're not really going to be able to interact with him because there's going to be so many people between you and him.
A lot of people.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, have you seen the side of his house?
Yeah.
I mean, really.
I like that he had rosé and a kale salad.
He's watching that waist.
Okay. How about Hailey Bieber, Justin Bieber's wife?
You know, I'm a big fan of the Biebs. I'm very into their union, and I know that they're going to be in love forever. I'm going to say she was nice.
Next up, we have Mrs. Bieber. This is going to be controversial. I've met her a handful of times, and every time she was not nice.
Not nice.
Oh, come on.
Yep, and you want to know what else? Okay, how about Catherine Waterston? She's from Fantastic Beasts. Now, she's British.
Okay, well, that's the first strike against her, I guess.
No! I'm just saying, sometimes.
Okay.
Sometimes they can. Well, now you said it like
that.
Kind.
You said it like that, so I'm going to say she was mean. I'm going to say she was mean.
Catherine Waterston, who was not very nice. She seems to just not want me to exist that day. I'm not sure what happened to her before she came in, but it was very uncomfortable.
Yep. Here's what I realized going through a million of these TikToks yesterday, Raven.
Yeah.
Is that A level is always on their best behavior, but when you start getting to B, C level celebrities, that's where they start getting nasty.
Yeah, well, they could have a day where they fell off, right? They're not ready to play that game.
I guess.
Or they're just mad at the world because they didn't get that part.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't get that paycheck.
Right.
I get it.
One last one.
Or they're British.
Kylie Jenner.
Kylie Jenner. I think Kylie Jenner's probably going to be nice. I mean, she's worth billions.
Except we have Kylie. She was fine, but she tipped $20 on a $500 dinner.
Oh,
$20 on a $500 dinner?
They say that that's how the rich stay rich, man. By being cheap.
That is crazy.
That ain't right.
I pay more than that for her foundation. Crazy? I don't think I've ever heard of anything like this ever before. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Hey, good morning. I just need to vent about this, about my boyfriend, and I just knew it was time to break up with him. There was one last straw. He picked me up for lunch one day. We've both been working from home. When we were coming back, he was on his way to drop me off. There was a funeral procession, and he was so annoyed by it. And what he did was, I can't even believe this, it's so despicable. He turns on his hazards, and he joins the funeral procession so he could run all the red light.
Wow.
Ooh.
That's a lot. Now, when he was doing it, what was the conversation like?
I was like, you can't, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he was just like, oh, please, like, it matters. And I'm like, I was like, it's so disrespectful. And and the fact that somebody would who would do something like that, I think it's really despicable and really rude and not the kind of person I want to be with. I want to be with somebody that has more dignity than that.
Someone that doesn't join funeral processions for fun with their hazards on.
Well,
yes.
To run red lights.
I get what you're saying. It feels a little low. On the other hand, you know, who hasn't gotten behind the ambulance on the highway or in the city, whatever, and let that thing block for you like an offensive lineman, and you just try and make it another 4 to 6 blocks because you haven't been moving for 20 minutes.
Yeah, no.
We've all done it.
Like, what do you do when everyone starts turning into the cemetery? You just floor it and just keep
show
going.
Up for the finger food.
Oh, right? Gosh.
The after reception, who knows?
Mm. Well, at least you knew it was over, right? At that point, like, that is the red flag that you've been looking for.
That's a blessing. When you've got a relationship that's kind of on the edge, right? Mm-hmm. And you're not quite sure, that defining thing that just says, yep, I'm good. That way you don't have to feel bad about it, be heartbroken or anything. You're just like, yeah, see you later.
I actually think, Raven, that it's good to have moments like that, the red flag moments, the defining moments, like the moment you knew it was over.
Sure.
Because then it's, you don't wonder, like, could this have worked?
Right.
Could I have made this work? Did I do something wrong? There's never that lingering problem because, you know, you're like, when he did that or when I did that or when this happened, it was definitely done.
You don't have to wonder what the future would be when you're repulsed.
Right. When did you have a moment when you just knew it was over?
Oh, I think it became pretty clear when I was writing for a family event with her family, and her father and her started an argument with me at once. And the grandmother would have been in on it too, except she was basically nonverbal at that point.
Right. When your significant other's grandmother tries to fist fight you in a car, that's how you know it's over.
And she was just out for a lunch date from the home.
Right. That defining moment when you know it's over, your relationship. I don't think it's a bad thing, to be honest, Raven, because I think that when you have that moment, it's kind of like the aha moment,
mm-hmm.
where you're like, no, I can't save this relationship. It's time to move on.
Yeah, good or bad at that point, whether it's your fault or their fault, either way, it's definitive.
You know, I had the same boyfriend throughout most of my high school years, and I went to college,
mm-hmm.
and he became so overprotective and like almost like not like crazy about it.
Yeah, controlling.
Yeah.
Right.
You
talked to a boy.
Right.
You saw a boy and blinked your eyes.
So then he started showing up at the dorms, like, you know, and he'd show up. And at first it was cute. You know, you're like, surprising me.
Nice surprise. Right.
But then he would show up at like 3 a.m.
Oh.
And I was like, no. This is when I know that this is over, because there is something seriously going on here. You
right. Right, right. It's wrong with you. I've got a whole group of people. I've got a different life going on.
Yeah. 1-800-330-9999. What was the defining moment when you knew that relationship was over? It's Anna and Raven.
When my uncle passed away and I couldn't get in touch with my boyfriend for 3 days. And when I asked him where he was, he said to me he didn't do death well.
Uh-huh. Like, you should probably at least answer the phone.
And and then when I said to him, where have you been? He said, I spoke to my mom, and she said it was okay.
Oh, good. Yeah. That was a double red flag.
Right. Yeah. He said, I hope you and your mom will be happy together. Right.
And I'm sure they still are right now. Eating that nice casserole she made this weekend after she did his laundry.
Anna and Raven, when did you know it was over?
I knew it was over when my ex-fiancé tried to move out of my house without me knowing.
That's a good indicator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When there's, an empty space where the couch used to be.
Uh-huh. Right.
Definitely something has changed here.
Yeah. He didn't want to bring it up until after it was all finalized.
That's good. Imagine you
and
come home halfway
he
through.
He asked if we could still be boyfriend and girlfriend afterwards.
Oh.
How did you handle that, finding out that he was trying to mysteriously move out without you knowing?
I just took my ring off and gave it to him.
You dodged a bullet with that one.
Right, but keep the ring and sell it.
I really did.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How did you know it was over?
He started texting my younger sister, and then he got drunk one night and was texting me and told me that he thought she was way hotter than me.
Oh, that's hurtful.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So what did your sister say when she was getting this text? Did she immediately tell you?
She, not at first, but then when it started happening more frequently, she was like, what's going on here?
I always find it like, are they bold or stupid? Right?
Or both.
Is it one or the other? Right? Are they more bold or more stupid? Because that's crazy to me. But then when you hear the hesitation somebody else had to tell you, I guess it kind of invites that behavior.
I think there's nothing more unattractive than a guy that has too much confidence that they're cocky. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure.
And those guys exist. Like, the fact that he even thought he could get away with that. He didn't get away with it, right? Like, your sister had nothing to do with him?
Oh, yeah. Nothing to do with him.
Good.
She was like, this is weird.
Yeah. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. How did you know it was over?
When we first started dating, he would always pay for everything. And we were dating for 2 years. But then he started saying, let's split it. Let's split when we went out. And then we went to the gas station. And he would always pay for my gas. But then he was like, he asked me for my credit card so I can pay for the gas, even though he still pumped it. And then 2 weeks later, he broke up with me.
I can only imagine being the guy who gets sick of it. If he had some financial problem or something, he'd be like, I'm not paying for it this time.
Right.
And then you're like, right. It's a test. But then if you have a test, you usually got to discuss the results.
Right. For 2 years, he told her not to pay for anything. And then all of a sudden, he started asking for her card. Yeah, you're right. That's how you know it's over.
Should have had a discussion. Right.
I don't know if anything is going to top the woman who was with her boyfriend and he joined a funeral procession just so he could run red lights. I don't know.
I mean, that was one that became abundantly clear. It was over because she knew that she didn't want to be with that type of person. But sometimes it's like a more clear-cut action, too, where you're just like, they're letting me know. They're sending me a signal. It goes both ways.
That's right. When did you know your relationship was over? That defining moment. 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
This was pretty brutal. My now ex-boyfriend and I used to go to the same coffee shop every morning. That's actually how we met. We would usually go through the drive-thru. Sometimes we'd go together. Sometimes he would pick it up for me or vice versa. But there was one day that I was heading to work by myself. I pulled through and we go there so much. We got really friendly with one of the baristas there, the sweet like college girl. So I think, you know, women supporting women, she was trying to have my back and she gave me my coffee for free that morning and slipped a note with it that said, hey, I'm so sorry, girl, but I saw your boyfriend come through the drive-thru with another girl on Saturday morning. They seemed pretty cozy. And she even went to the extent of printing out a like screen grab from the security footage.
Oh, no.
So that I would believe it. Confronted him about it. And of course, they all do this. At first, he denied it. Then I showed him the picture and he completely folded, broke down. And he like met this girl online and he was like, it didn't mean anything. You know, we're still casual, but he was clearly sleeping with both of us.
Yeah, here's the thing. I mean, first off, I'm getting that girl fired. You're getting that girl fired.
No,
it's none of her business. She's accessing the company camera to print a photo to get in somebody else's business. I mean, Had he not said he was involved with that girl, there would have been zero proof. It could have been a coworker. He was picking up coffee with her. It could have been anything. Mm. His mistake was saying anything. I would have definitely got that girl fired.
No, I'm grateful for that girl.
Yeah,
I am grateful
but she's totally
for
out
her.
Of line. She's 100% out of line.
Sometimes you got to just help a girl out. You got to take a chance. You know the moral dilemma she probably had trying to figure out whether or not she was going to do that?
Yeah, well, she should have had an employment dilemma because the things that you assume about you, how many times do we have to learn that lesson?
I don't know.
And Ann Raven, when did you know it was over?
We were both in college, and he'd get mad at me and would tell me, like, not to contact him, and he couldn't contact me. So then the last time, he didn't contact me for, like, a whole week, and I felt more at peace not talking to him. So I was like, yeah, this is over. Like, I'm good with that.
But also, when your boyfriend says, don't reach out to me for a week.
Right, that's also that's, a message as it's kind of over, right? No.
Exactly. Like, super sketchy.
Is that sketchy or unbelievably straightforward?
Right.
I mean, like, I think he might have dumped her.
Let's try this new thing where we don't ever talk ever again. How do you think that's going to work out? And on Raven, when did you know it was over?
Yeah, so my ex and I actually, we used to share a cell phone plan. Yeah, and it had, like, the find your phone feature on it. She didn't really, I guess, understand how it worked, or maybe, I don't know, she didn't even know it was on there, but, like, so one day I kind of was just like feeling things weren't going well. Told me she was running out to go to the gym and I got a little suspicious and I checked on where she was, drove to the spot and it ended up she was at another guy's house and was in the middle of cheating on me when I arrived.
Oh, that's terrible. That's how you know it's over.
Yeah,
you know it's over then.
Yeah, for sure.
It's a terrible day, but it's good at least that you knew that was going on because if not, you're a crazy person that's showing up randomly at other people's houses and tracking your lady's phone. So it's a good thing you did have the intuition and you were correct, because if not, you were a stalker.
Yeah, I, as bad as it would have been, I would have rather it was that. Yeah.
What's your story? What was that defining moment that you knew it was over? You can head to our Facebook page, and if you're not friends with us yet, just search for Anna and Raven. Five calls says it all. You're going to be the judge on if you think this is out of line or not. 1-800-330-9999. Raven, I went out to dinner on Saturday night. And it was like a pretty fancy restaurant. Actually, it was the first time I've put on a dress in a year since the pandemic started.
I mean, I'd say that's pretty fancy. That's an occasion, right?
Yeah. And the truth of the matter is you probably could wear nice jeans there, but I felt like I actually had somewhere to go. We had reservations. I wanted to be dressed up for the night.
Okay. Is this you and your husband or you and the family?
It's me and my husband. No kids. It's a date night.
Wow.
And we went with another couple. So this is a big deal. These things don't happen all that often.
No, they do not now.
So now I'm all dressed up. I'm wearing heels. It's like I almost forgot how to walk in heels at this point. I got my hair blown out. I got my makeup done. I'm feeling nice. It's a big grown-up night out. We walk into this restaurant, and it's pretty full for a COVID-packed night. You know, it's good, and it almost feels normal. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
I've had a similar experience recently.
So we sit down at our table, and I smile, and I order my dirty martini, and then I look up, and then I look around. And then I realize this place is still decorated for Christmas. It still has the wreaths on the walls. It still has, like, all the garnishment, like, around the windows to celebrate the holidays.
Wow.
And it's not like the wreaths that, you know, sometimes it can go either way.
Right, right. Like, there's seasonal ones. I've seen, like, a fall wreath before.
Yeah. Those
I mean, I think it's weird.
Nope.
Seems like an abundance of wreaths, but I've seen them.
Yep. These were, like, 6-foot massive Christmas wreaths with glitter and candles.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, no.
Was there one of those plastic Santas you sometimes see on a rooftop in there somewhere?
No, but it was a lot of, like, the...
It feels like
the bows and, like, the things like that.
Okay.
And I don't know why it bothered me so much, but as I'm, like, eating my fried calamari, I say to the table of my friends, I go, don't you guys think it's weird? And they were like, what? I go, don't you think it's weird that they have the Christmas wreaths up and they still have all the Christmas decorations up? I'm like, it's March. Like, what? Nobody thinks this is weird? And they kind of shrugged it off because it was certainly one of those things that only stuck with me. But I think it's because I was staring directly at the pair of wreaths that were right in front of my vision.
I think it's not really, though, just a couple weeks before Christmas. It's a seasonal thing, right? If it's still cold in areas, they can just embrace Christmas until it's completely summertime.
I think the only time you can get away with still having your holiday decorations up at this point, and this is the only time I think is okay, is if you have a military member of your family serving overseas and you're waiting for them to come home and you're saving Christmas for them.
Right,
that's
right.
Literally it.
None of the kids get to open a gift or anything like that. The Christmas PJs are still sitting somewhere under the tree that it's actually a fire hazard at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I the only other exception being if they just reopened, right? Pandemic time.
No, like,
we're
take
open.
It down.
We're so great to see you guys.
No.
Didn't get a chance to do it yet.
No. I mean, Martin Luther King Day is the cutoff. Take your decorations down. What do you think? It's March. They still have their holiday decorations up. Is it beautiful and nice, or is it just strange? Like, take them down. Five calls says it all. You're going to vote. 1-800-330-9999. I'm not a Grinch. I'm not. I love the holidays. It's like one of my favorite times of year. But when it's over, it's over. I'm one of those people that it's like the day after Christmas, Christmas tree comes down, pack everything away, take the lights off the house. We'll see you next year, buddy.
I can't stand that. And I also cannot stand when people immediately pick up the wrapping paper. Let me wallow in this wrapping paper.
Nope.
Let me roll around in this bow of joy. Let me do that.
Nope.
They're there with the trash bag immediately. Like, why wrap it if that's how we're going
to
live?
My OCD can't handle that, Raven. I have to immediately put everything away. Over the weekend, I went to a restaurant, and it was like the first time I'd been really dressed up. It was a fancier restaurant, and I didn't have the kids, so again, this is a rare occasion. And I walk in, and it's still decorated for Christmas. It's March now. There was big wreaths. It wasn't like the, you know, sometimes they have wreaths that can go either way. These wreaths weren't going either way. These were Christmas wreaths with candles. There was garnish. There was garland. And I said, am I in make-believe world right now? Like, this is a busy, nice restaurant. This isn't a place that just opened again last week because of COVID.
Rudolph centerpiece would have been a nice touch.
Mm.
But that was absent, at least.
Five calls says it all. What do you think? Is it nice that they still have their holiday decorations up, or is it just weird? Hey, Anna and Raven.
I think take it down. You are being lazy.
Agreed.
What if you don't have anything to put in that spot? Like, a 6-foot wreath is really big. What do we put there? Like,
nothing. It's a wall in a restaurant. You don't need to put something there.
Well, maybe if we had a wagon wheel or something. I mean, a pool inflatable.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Five calls says it all. What do you think?
Yeah, take them down. It's almost springtime. I mean, we need to embrace the springtime. It's time.
What if there was a jolly old Saint Nick just with the rosy cheeks and a rosy nose staring you in the face?
Nope.
One of those hard plastic ones where you stick the light bulb up in his backside.
Anna and Raven, five calls says it all. What do you think?
I think take those wreaths down. Get up on a ladder and take them down yourself.
Imagine.
Awful.
Imagine I climbed up on the chair that was directly underneath the wreath, and I just grabbed it in the middle of the restaurant, and I flung it like a frisbee,
yeah.
And it went right around somebody's wine glass.
First time you were wearing heels in a year in a dress, you probably would have flown out the window by
accident.
True.
That's actually accurate.
Would have ejected.
And on Raven, five calls says it all. What do you think?
Hi, I say unless you're going to decorate it according to the next holiday, like it's March, put some pot of gold and shamrocks on it, it's fine. Otherwise, take it down.
Yep.
Huh.
Thank
Easter
you.
Would have been fine, like a large Easter bunny creepily staring you in the face.
It's not really that kind of restaurant. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Five calls says it all. What do you think?
Hi. Well, first of all, I think it's okay, and I'll tell you why. I think they're trying to keep the spirit up because of COVID. And I don't think it would be a problem for me or a lot of people just because of that. It wouldn't bother us.
What is your favorite Christmas song?
White Christmas.
All right. Can you sing some of it for me right now? I'd like to get back in the spirit, please.
Actually, I can't. I have asthma. I'm a little cold.
Oh, don't blame it on your asthma. Come on, girl. That's a cop-out.
She doesn't want to
sing. You left me hanging over asthma. Come on.
All right, so the final tally. Five calls says it all. Four people said, it's weird. Take your Christmas decorations down from the restaurant walls. One person said, jingle all the way.
And wouldn't still sing for me. Denied me my joy.
Yep.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they tell us what their disagreement is about, and then you just decide who's right. Kelly and Freddie. Kelly, what's going on?
My family is very Irish, and so my dad has never really been nice to Freddie. He's just made it obvious since the 2 years we've been dating. He doesn't like that Freddie didn't go to college. And so he planned this big St. Patrick's Day outing at this local bar we always all go to. And he rented out an entire private COVID-safe room for family and friends. And I think this would really show my dad, you know, what an amazing man Freddie is, and I really am like begging him to come with me, but he won't come. I just need him to be there because I feel like it will show my dad that he's committed to me.
Freddie, why won't you go to the party?
Look, Kelly, you know how I feel about you. I love you. Her father's made up her mind, okay? He's got this stick up his butt about the college thing. I mean, we've had this conversation. I mean, this is a nightmare waiting to happen. Can you imagine me showing up to this little enclosed safe room with her Irish family who are all getting hammered and, like, her brothers and her dad? I mean, I can just already hear them just going after me about college and education and I'm sure many other things that will come flying out of their mouths.
I mean, it's St. Patrick's Day. It's really just going to be about whether or not you've got the grit to drink with them. I'm guessing.
You know? Yeah, but
exactly.
It might not be. It's not going to be an SAT or a college quiz, I'm thinking, at that point. Like, I mean, then you got to show your merit on things that really matter, like Jameson and green beer.
Kelly, why do you think that Freddie just showing up is going to show your... You think that he just showing up is going to show your dad that he's committed? Like, what... What if it just makes it awkward for everybody?
Well, it's exactly like you guys were saying. Like, this for us is the craziest day of the year. And Freddie being there, I know it will be so much fun once everyone is celebrating and in the mood. Like, maybe at first it will be awkward, but, like, everyone will already be, like, getting crazy when we get there. So I know that him and my dad will bond. It will be amazing. I know it. I'm telling you, Freddie.
Kelly,
I'm telling you.
Do you know if your dad even wants him there?
No.
Dude, go out with your friends.
Freddie,
he doesn't even want me there. That's what I'm saying. I'm going to show up. Oh, I'll buy you all your drinks, Freddie. No problem. You know, I know you don't got a job because you don't got an education, probably. So, you know, I'll buy all the drinks for you.
Do you have a job?
I do have a job. But okay. I'm just saying, this is what this guy's like.
All right. Well, here's what we do. We ask our audience what they think, and they may agree with you, Kelly. Freddie, if you really do have an interest in having a future with Kelly, you got to get over this. And this is a good first step, showing up, you know, saving face
Thank
and
you.
Saying I'm here. But they
Not
may
me
see,
getting over it, man.
I get it, but they may see your side too, where, Kelly, if your father has done everything in his power, which you both seem to agree, so it seems like that's not the issue, that he doesn't like him, then why would you bring him to a family party where it's going to basically ruin everybody's day?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Kelly and Freddie have been dating for quite a while, and Kelly's very Irish father, to be COVID safe, rented out an entire room at a local Irish pub for St. Patrick's Day. Kelly says to Freddie, you have to come. You got to come with us. It's going to be a fun party, except there's one major problem.
Yeah, he thinks that dad hates him and he doesn't want to show up because of it. He thinks, you know what? We go in here. I walk into this room. Everybody's drinking. I didn't go to college. I'm just going to have to hear ridicule about how I don't have a great job. I don't make great money. And I'm not good enough for his daughter, essentially.
What do you think? Should he have to go anyway? 1-800-330-9999. It's Couples Court. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on Freddie's side. I've been in this situation, and it's only going to be horrendous for him. He'll be an open victim.
There's certainly something about that I agree with. My husband is a Polish guy. When he came into my Italian family, it was not going to be easy for him being the Polish guy.
Sure.
But he was never going to win the love of my parents if he didn't show up and prove that he loved me and that he was going to spend his life with me.
I think that's part of what you want to see as a parent. You want to see that their partner is tough enough to stick up for them when you're not around.
Yeah.
How are you going to know that without pushing them down in the mud yourself?
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court. Kelly and Freddie have been dating for a couple of years, and Kelly's family is very Irish, so her father rented out a private room at a local Irish pub for St. Patrick's Day and desperately wants Freddie to come, except there's one problem.
Kelly and Freddie both admit that her dad is not actually a fan of Freddie. She believes that this party will be a defining moment for them in their relationship. Look, you can be a good sport, you can show up, but Freddie just thinks it's a disaster waiting to happen.
Riley, would you want to go to a party where you knew that your girlfriend's dad hated you, and you had to sit there and drink, and it's his party?
I mean, that's every party I went to in high school.
Whose side are you on? 1-800-330-9999. Couples Court, Anna and Raven.
I'm on her side. I'm from an Irish family myself, and if you don't have a thick skin, he's not going to survive.
I agree.
Yeah, it's true. You got to toughen up, especially with certain families, right?
Yep. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Whose side are you on?
I'm on the girlfriend's side a little bit. I mean, I understand where he's coming from because I come from a family like lots of boys, and they do get on your boyfriend, you know, for all the little things. But at the same time, as long as she stands you know, by him and does whatever, then he should go to the party. And then if anything goes down, they should leave right away.
Right. There's kind of like a hazing process, right? In a lot of relationships or families, the family that welcomes you too quickly, beware of that family.
It's true.
All right? They're trying to trap you.
I mean, you're never going to win his love if you just keep avoiding him.
That's true.
Yeah. Tana and Raven, whose side are you on?
I'm definitely on the guy's side. My two come from an Irish family. This poor man, she's setting him up so bad and doesn't even know it. My heart only aches for him. It really does.
Give her the call.
Everyone's going to be drinking, and he's going to be on the spot. They're going to smell his beer like an animal.
Right. And then they may eat him in the alley. You're right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Corned beef, and then this guy.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Kelly, our audience agreed with you. Freddie, at some point, you're going to have to face her father. It might as well be after you've had six Guinnesses.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I'm happy to drink and, you know, do all that stuff. So I'm just saying, I can see this going horribly wrong.
Well, just be thinking of those guys because I know it's going to be great.
Hey. Enjoy the holiday. Good luck, guys.
Yeah, if you have a problem, thanks, too, send an email. CouplesCourt@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, it's Melissa.
Melissa, you are up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Ooh, Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Melissa.
All right, Melissa. We have $1,500 on the line. Raven's walking out of here. When that door closes, we're going to ask you five pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one, and then I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same five questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. You ready to play?
Yes.
Number one, Lady Gaga's stolen puppies were returned safely, but the men who stole the dog and assaulted her dog walker have not yet been caught. Lady Gaga is currently in Italy filming her new movie. What's that movie called? Number two, the star of The King of Staten Island portrayed Governor Cuomo this past weekend on Saturday Night Live. Who is that?
Pete Davidson.
Number three, Netflix is releasing a documentary called Varsity Blues, which tells the story of Rick Singer, the mastermind of the college admission scandal. What Full House actress spent 2 months in prison for her role in that scandal?
Lori Loughlin.
Number four, six children's books by the same author, including And to Think That I Saw It on Mulberry Street and If I Ran a Zoo, will stop being published because of the racist, insensitive imagery. Who is the author?
Dr. Seuss.
And number five, History Channel is producing a reality competition called Assembly Required, reunited Tim Allen and Richard Karn from Home Improvement. What current Fox show does Tim Allen play a father to three daughters? Time's up, Melissa. Oh, I really wanted you to get that last one. All right, that was good, though. That might be nice. We'll see. Melissa got 4 out of 5.
Okay. Let's see how I do.
Number
one. Pretty good, Melissa. $1,500.
She did great. Number one, Lady Gaga's stolen puppies were returned safely, but the men who stole the dog and assaulted her dog walker have not yet been caught.
Right.
Lady Gaga's currently in Italy filming her new movie. What's it called?
Gucci.
Yes. Number two, the star of The King of Staten Island portrayed Governor Cuomo this past weekend on Saturday Night Live. Who is that?
Isn't that Pete Davidson?
It is. Number three, Netflix is releasing a documentary called Varsity Blues, which tells the story of Rick Singer, the mastermind of the college admission scandal.
Mm.
Which Full House actress spent 2 months in prison for her role in the scandal?
Lori Loughlin?
Yep. Number four, six children's books by the same author, including And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street and If I Ran a Zoo, will stop being published because of the racist and insensitive imagery. Who is the author?
Dr. Seuss. A couple of those books are a little bit questionable.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
Remember when we read that in Read Across America? We were there in front of a classroom.
It was Read Across America Day, and we were reading at an elementary school. And
oh,
I just
man.
Grabbed a Dr. Seuss book from my daughter's room, because she has them all. And I brought it there, and I kept waiting for the happy ending. There was no happy ending.
I mean, that was the one about building the wall and burying things.
It was awful.
It was terrible.
All right, you guys are tied at 4. Number 5, History Channel is producing a new reality competition called Assembly Required, reuniting Tim Allen and Richard Karn from Home Improvement.
Nice.
And what current Fox show does Tim Allen play the father to three daughters?
Isn't that Last Man Standing?
Yep. I'm sorry, Melissa. He took you down 5-4.
Ooh.
We'll get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you. This is Melissa, and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. She played well.